Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. It is draft day. Coming up later on tonight, we will find out. I think we already know. It will be Cam Ward, the new Titans quarterback out of Miami. We'll hear his name called. I believe the commissioner will say Cameron, and he will walk across the stage and be a member of the Two-Tone Blue. To talk more about Cam Ward, we say hello now to Coach Lance Guidry. He was the defensive coordinator at Miami with Cam Ward last year, now at LSU. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Doing good.
Well, thanks so much for doing this today. You saw Cam Ward last year in practice every day. What are the Titans potentially getting in this young man?
Well, I'm a huge fan. I think he's a stud. He's an ultimate competitor. I think he has a chip on his shoulder, you know, just kind of his route of getting to this position that he's in. Of course, he started off as a FCS quarterback, and then he ended up going to Washington State, and then ended up coming to us at Miami, and just got a chip on his shoulder, man. He's out there to prove himself every day. You know, just going against him at practice and watching him in the game, I think he's got great awareness. He's got like an extra sense, knowing when to move in the pocket. He feels things around him really well. So he never gets too up or too down. A bad play is not going to define him, and he knows that. So he's like got a real short-term memory. So he can change a game around like from one series to the next or one quarter to the next. I don't think he'll play a bad game. Of course, some games will be better than others, but he's unbelievable. He's the best one I've been around for sure.
Coach, what are some things that he does to, you know, frustrate a defense? I mean, I know you were trying to scheme against him in practice, but what are some things that NFL defensive coordinators are going to have to look out for?
Well, I think he does a good job of understanding what people do. He's got an extra sense. Just when you're trying to show him a post safety and you might roll out of it and try to play some type of trap defense, he always finds a way to slip that ball in there in that hole shot. He sees the tight, tight windows. He can get it in there. He changes his arm angles when he needs to. I think the biggest thing he does, though, is his ability to move in the pocket and extend plays, because we didn't have any, like, necessarily fast receivers, anybody that could take the top off. But he made them so much better than they were, I thought. Of course, we had a really good tight end. He's going to be able to take what y'all have there, I think, and really make it better. Now, it's going to be a learning curve. We know that from one game to the next, from going to college to NFL. But I do think he's the type of kid that's going to put in all the work he needs to. And when things do break down, he's a guy that can move in the pocket. He's not going to just be a statue there, which is also really good.
We're talking to former Miami defensive coordinator Lance Guidry, who's now at LSU, who faced Cam Ward in practice every day. And, Coach, I got to think that you probably threw everything at Cam Ward in practice and spring and fall camp and everything. What was that like doing that? And when you did that and he's able to kind of figure out what's going on, I think you talked about being impressed by him, but I'm sure you threw everything at him, right, in camp?
Yeah, because, you know, when you install things, and we installed our whole defense, and when we went up against him in the spring, we wasn't full force, but in fall camp, we were. We had all our pieces throughout the season. We started getting beat up a little bit, but, of course, we didn't go against each other as much as we did in fall camp. But in fall camp, I mean, from playing post safety, we're playing cover three, to man free, to blitzing with no rat, to playing split safety, whether you're playing quarters to one side, two to the other, or bringing all-out pressure and dropping guys underneath things. He's seen it all. You catch him one time, maybe, but the next time you're not going to catch him again. So I think he's a student of the game. His intelligence is really, really high. And sometimes he just takes what's there, too. He's not always greedy, but he definitely throws balls that are catchable in man coverage to the outside to give his receivers a chance. So I think he's a complete package. I really do.
What was it like? I'm sure there's some times, Coach, when you frustrated him in practice, what was his attitude like? Because I've heard so much about his attitude. I'm like, all right, just pick yourself up, go again. Did you see that good attitude when things did not go his way?
He's got a personality of a defensive player to me. he'll talk a little bit of trash to you, especially when things are going good. And when you get him, he'll kind of smile. And but then when he's going off the field, he's pissed off, and he's going to come back and get you. I promise you he's going to do that. So, yeah, I love his attitude. He's a guy that defensive players, I think, want to play for as well because they feel like he's going to give you a chance. So I think he's going to be a great teammate, and I think he's a great fit with anybody.
Well, Coach, I know we're looking forward to having him here, you know, if that is the pick. I think we all know that it's going to be the pick. But what are you doing at LSU now? How excited are you for that?
I'm good, man. I'm back home, so I'm a Louisiana boy. So I'm going to coach the outside backers. So I get to coach Harold Perkins, which is really exciting because he's, you know, I expect him to go high in the draft next year. So, you know, we it's just good to be home. I'm a defensive analyst here, so I'll have some analyst job as well with Coach Baker. And, you know, I know a lot of these guys that are on staff, so it's a good fit for me and my family and not too far away from my hometown, so I'm excited.
Well, I know it's going to be great. Welcome to the SEC. Thanks so much for doing this today. We appreciate your insight, and we'll do it again soon.
Yes, sir, and good luck to y'all.
Thank you very much. Coach Lance Guidry joining us here on the program. Was the defensive coordinator at Miami last year with Cam Ward. Went up against him every day in practice. Good to get that perspective.
It is. You've got a guy coming in there, and he's his first year at Miami, here about him from Washington State. You just throw everything at him. See how he says. And that's been a theme throughout. We talked to these coaches with Cam Ward. It's like, this guy's got it. I mean, he's got it. And if the Titans make him their pick, he's their guy, then look, all these coaches that we've talked to and you've read about are on the same page when it comes to him.
Yeah.
I've never doubted his talent. I'm just thinking, we go back to this again. You get the first pick, and you could get more things, and you've got this ace in the hole here you could use. But if he's your guy, then he's your guy. Then you're committed to him, this coaching staff, this front office, for I think a minimum of 2 years, if not 3 years.
I think what – you know, you have to accept, Titans fans have to accept, I have to accept, everybody has to just come to terms with, he's not 1-1. And I don't really think 1-1 exists in this draft. And if everybody can come to terms with that and just let him grow and become whatever he becomes and hope that he becomes a success, then all will be okay.
You know we can't do that.
I know, but
you know we can't do that.
That's my advice today. Is what people need to do.
And hopefully you're never, ever in this position again.
Well, I don't think he's going to play for 50 years, so you probably will be. But, you know, we'll see. We will see. 615-737-1025. Usually we would be joined by Greg Wyshynski from ESPN today with it being draft day. We're going to catch up with Greg next week. He's presented by Old National Bank. Get old and always enjoy our conversations with him. You can weigh in 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have more coming. We're at the Nashville Super Speedway today. Wheels and Heels coming up in just a little bit. 1025, 1063, the game.
You'll be yelling when they take Cam Ward?
Yeah, I'll be in the middle of something that's very important, and I'll be like,
I can't wait to get a cold Budweiser.
Will you go to the press conference tomorrow and just say, hey, I don't like you. I just want you to know that. You have to earn my trust.
I have nothing against the player. I just think there's so many holes to on this football team, and you have this bag, and you could say, all right, I'm going to give you this, but in turn, I want your four bags to come back to me. My bag's valuable, but I want your four bags given back to me.
Your bag is valuable.
That's what she said.
Well done, Dr. Crane.
Oh, man.
Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game.
On
this Thursday, we're at Nashville Super Speedway. They have a fantastic event coming up in just a little bit. Wheels and Heels, presented by Hunt Brothers Pizza here at the Nashville Super Speedway. Keynote speakers is coming over to our desk right now, and we'll get the headset on and bring in the great Jamie Little, Fox Sports, who is with us. Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Thanks so much for being here and doing this. And we obviously love your work on whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar. They got you everywhere these days.
But I'm busy. I'll take it.
You love doing events like this.
Yes, I do. And it's so fun. I just walked into the media center and I'm like, this looks a lot different than it used to. And there's pink everywhere. So I've never seen this much pink at a racetrack. It's beautiful. It's a great event today. We're celebrating women in motorsports. There's more more and more every year.
When was the last time you were at this track? Because NBC's had it, you know, pretty much since it came back. So, I mean, it's probably been a minute.
You know, it's actually, it's been a few years. I covered the truck series on Pitt Road. So I don't know when that was. Maybe 22 was the last time I was here.
Okay.
There were definitely, you know, the Amazon, you know, all that stuff was behind the racetrack. So it looks a little different out here. But I love this place. It's such a great facility, an amazing track. We always had great racing in IndyCar here, Xfinity, Cup, you name it.
And now it's back with both.
It is.
Yes.
What got you into all this?
Gosh, I was just telling the ladies, they're like, did you, you know, have a dad that, I was like, I was raised by a single mom, only child, but I grew up in Lake Tahoe. So I was very outdoorsy. I was a tomboy and I loved dirt bikes for some reason, the smell of them, like the, how much fun they were. I just loved it. And we moved to Vegas when I was 13 and I met a guy that I went to school with, and not a guy, he was a kid, and he raced dirt bikes. He's now married to Pink and has been for years, but Carrie Hart is the one he raced motocross. And I thought, this is the coolest thing. And I'm in love with it. I'd bring the dirt bikes magazines to class. People were like, what is your deal? I'm like, I love the stories. I love the athletes, just everything that it was about. And I found my calling that way.
I love it. I tell people it's kind of like NASCAR and hockey are similar to me, because you can talk about it, but until you go to it and see it, it's just a whole new, you have a whole new appreciation for it, which I'm sure you get to see all the time. You still get kind of the butterflies when you go to the tracks and see everything.
Yes, absolutely. The coolest thing about racing is it's unscripted. So we're out there. You don't know what's going to happen. We can do all the research in the world and hear from every driver. You don't know what's going to happen that night. And that's the exciting part of it. And live television, live radio, like, it doesn't get better than that. What you say, it's out there. Ouch. And I love it. I still get those butterflies at the start of, you know, we have the flyover and the national anthem playing. You're like, all right, what does today have in store? So it's exciting. I love it. Obviously, I've been doing it a long time. So
Fox IndyCar and NASCAR, so Jamie Little is here with us. The play-by-play, how much fun have you enjoyed being in the booth doing that with the truck series and ARCA series?
It's so different. It's so much fun. It's just, it's a different skill set. You know, I went up there in 21 was the first time I started doing the ARCA series. And, you know, I went up there thinking I'm just going to be the pit reporter in the booth, but it's not like that at all. It's just so much different. You're an air traffic control cop. You're working with your analysts, trying to bring the best out of them. And you have to know everything that's going on all the time. When you're a pit reporter, you're focused in on the storylines, what's happening with your drivers at this time, who's having trouble, who's excelling, who's moving through the field. It's so much different. But now that I'm doing trucks full time, I've kind of done part time the last couple of years. It's every week and it's so much fun. And this year we're getting drivers rotating through. So I'm getting different, you know, it's Joey Logano one week or Brad Keselowski. Last week I had Carson Hocevar. So you're getting these guys who aren't professional broadcasters bringing, you know, everything that they know about the sport straight out of this seat. So that's been a lot of fun.
What I always have enjoyed when, because Fox really started doing that with Xfinity and you know, now the trucks, is when you have storylines connected to the drivers. Like, we all know Carson Hocevar hasn't made a ton of friends on the track this year. It's fun when, like, you see two guys that, you know, they ran each other the week before, but now they're having to stand there and work together, and it's your job to make sure they don't start fighting or something.
Yes, it's so funny. I mean, you know, drivers, and I think athletes across the board, they get it. Like, television could be their next outlet. That could be somewhere that they go when they're done racing, and they take it seriously, and they're all knocking down the door. They want to be part of the broadcast. They want to be in the booth with us, even, you know, crew chiefs. But it is funny, guys who've, you know, they didn't have the best, like, for instance, I had at Daytona, I had Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick. We all know the famous spats between them, who wears the fire suit in your family. And now they can work together as professionals. And it's so much fun because they all just have a different background, a different perspective of how things go. And they have a different background in the truck series. So I love hearing that, trying to get them to bring that out and what they see in drivers that maybe we don't.
You talk about being in the booth. I've got ADHD. Chase has ADHD. Do you have to have that when you're doing play-by-play? Because there's so much going on. I'm thinking it's you don't know what's going on. There's a wreck here. There's something going on here.
Yes.
Oh, he's in pit row. What's going on here? And you're an air traffic cop end up there in the booth is a great way to describe that. I mean, is it as chaotic as we think it is?
At moments, absolutely, because there is so much going on. But the best part is when you get in the groove and it's like you're sitting there with your buddies watching the race and you're talking and discussing and the racing is going on. It's so good. And it's like, and we're going to break in 10. It's like it breaks it up. So you have to, you know, make it flow the best that you can. Bring it back from break. You're selling things, you know, the promos. And there's so much more that goes into it than just knowing about the race and what's happening. But yes, it after a race, I don't care if it's 2 hours or 4 hours, you are exhausted mentally.
Right?
There's a lot going on and trying to keep those guys. Like Carson wanted to talk nonstop last week and it's like, I'm hitting him on the leg. Like, I got to get to break.
Do you have Pink's number on speed dial?
I do have her number. I haven't talked to her in years and years and years. But yes, I went to their wedding. It was about as pink as this, literally.
What, I mean, this is the career. I mean, look at this. I mean, I know you're grateful for it, but it's some mornings where you're like, good Lord, thank you for this.
Yes, I can't believe it's still happening. You know, it's racing, but the things that it brings along, you know, the opportunities that you have, the outreach, you know, people that you can make a difference in people's lives, animals' lives. I'm a big animal advocate. And so when I go to cities like this, a lot of times I'll find a shelter and raise awareness. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that if nobody knew my name. I mean, I could go do it, but I can't be raising the money that I do, giving back and raising awareness. So I'm very lucky. You know, this year already, I got to interview the president of the United States, sitting president.
Right.
Yeah, you did.
I don't care who you are. That's the second time I got to do that. He came to Daytona. I got to interview him. They call and ask for me. Those are those moments you're like, dang, that's pretty cool. Like, I might think I screwed this up or screwed that up, but if they're asking you to interview the president, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And then just a couple weeks ago at Burlington, Michael Jordan, like, got to interview him. He sees me, he's like, Jamie, I watch you every Friday night. I don't miss a truck race. I don't miss an Xfinity race. I don't miss a cup race. And we're shooting the breeze back and forth. I'm like, can we do a quick interview? Sure. What do you want? Where do you want me to go? Those moments, you're like, this is the most powerful man in who you are. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan is the man. And for him to know you on a first name basis and say yes, anything you need, is pretty special.
I'm glad you brought him up because I remember when, I can't remember if it was one back, he was here and everybody was like, okay, you know, don't look him in the eye. Like, it's Michael Jordan. You know? And people were kind of standoffish because he was new to the sport. And like, I don't think people truly realized how invested he was and how much he loved it. Have you seen that change at the racetrack? Because now he's a lot more accessible. He's part of the NASCAR family. Because yeah. I've also heard him, and I think it was with you that he said this, that he kind of he doesn't have that fix with basketball anymore.
Yes.
He gets it with NASCAR, that competitiveness.
Yes, he actually told me that in an interview I did with him a year ago at Talladega after Tyler Reddick won. He was in victory. Well, at that point, Jordan did not get interviews. Yeah. His people didn't allow him. He didn't want to. He just wanted to be the team owner. He's been a fan his whole life. Like, it goes back to, like, with his family. A huge fan of NASCAR. So now as an owner, you know, we did a sit-down interview with him when 2311 first started, and that was it. He wanted Strahan to be the interviewee, and that was it. And then get an interview. So Tyler Reddick was last year, and I knew MJ was there. I ran to Victory Lane, and I'm like, and I was like, can I chat with you? He's like, sure. So it kind of broke the seal. We had a great interview. He was so forthcoming. Like you said, you remember that moment where he said, this is my face now. That's why I'm so invested here and I love it so much. So he's done a couple other interviews. Still not a ton, but he does have a team that kind of, you know, they protect him. But he's one of us. Like, what's so cool is with a superstar, whether you're a sports figure or you're, you know, an actor, and you come into our world of motorsports, it's so much different than us knowing them in their world. Like, he's like, we know you, watch you all the time. We'll do it every once. Great guy. It's so good for our sport to have him part of it, and he's so invested.
And I like hearing from him. Danny's great, but like, when you're talking to Dave, are you driver? You car owner Denny, which Denny are you right
yes.
now? You know, and so to hear MJ talk about 2311, which they've done a ton with the shop and all that stuff, they got a really good team, talented drivers. I think it's cool because you hear how genuine he is about making that a championship-winning team.
Yeah, and I love it because over the years, you've had celebrities come in, sports figures, big names come in like, oh, I'm part owner of a NASCAR team. They don't do it right. They don't get the top-notch drivers out there to be competitive. They're trying to make money and selling sponsorship and putting their name on it. He's actually invested. Is the most incredible race shop you'll see. He is all in, obviously, with their drivers. They've got the wins. They win every year. That's what he wants. He wants to compete for a championship. They've done it right.
You have a boy, right?
A girl and a boy.
Girl and a boy. Would you be okay with your boy being a stock car driver?
No.
Those are quick now.
I tell him, I am a hypocrite mom. Anything I like, you're not allowed to do. I mean, you can't jump out of planes. You can't do any of the cool stuff I've done in my life. But no, he's super into football. I mean, we live in Indiana, so he loves football. He's into wrestling now. He's 12 and loving it. So that's been a whole new world to learn.
Good. What do you leave here today? Where do you go?
So I'll leave here. I'll go home for the night, get up tomorrow morning. I'm actually volunteering for a field day with my son tomorrow to school, and I'll leave Stuart and go to Talladega. So, yeah, it's like four flights this week alone because we lost John Edwards, you know, with Hendrick Motorsports. Yeah, yeah. So incredible. On Tuesday, they had, you know, a celebration of life at Hendrick Motorsports, and Hendrick's plane did up from the area, from IndyCar, or blew up there. So it was really special. That's just the racing community. Yeah. They're just incredible. It's one big family.
Will you be at the Indy 500 this year?
I will. I'll be on pit road.
Okay.
Going back after 11 years away.
How much pressure is on Kyle Larson? After last year, he didn't get to Charlotte in time. He's going to try again. Come on, the weather has to behave.
It has to.
I haven't thought that there was a guy that could actually pull off both since Tony Stewart.
Absolutely. That kid, sometimes I wonder if he has a pulse. Like nothing nothing gets to him. His nerves, like he just gets in and drives the race car and all he wants to do is win. This year it's a little different because they know NASCAR's already said, like, if you don't start this race, like your chances for the championship. So they know if the weather comes, this is our cutoff. We have to get to Charlotte. Last year they didn't have that. They were able to wait. I was on pit road in his box 600 when he walked up. It literally started raining. It was like the same storm that followed us because I was at back Indy with him doing the double with him. Ended up having to drop all those plans. Flew back to Charlotte with Jimmy Johnson. Thankfully, he was flying so I could do my job for the 600. It was a mess. The weather was a freaking mess. So hopefully this year it's on our side. Larson has a great opportunity. They're on track actually as we speak right now in Indy for the test.
Did you get any superlatives when you graduated Green Valley High School?
No.
You should have. I mean, you're groundbreaking.
No.
You are.
I was a terrible student. Let's just put it that way. Good thing I found this talking thing for a profession because I barely graduated high school. Honestly, I just didn't like it. I was into racing. Like, I couldn't wait to leave and move out and go straight to Los Angeles. I just wanted to figure out life on my own, not go to college. I did go to college. So, kids, go to college for
stay in school.
Stay in school. Got my degree in journalism at San Diego State while I was working, live announcing, doing all the things, paying my dues. But high school, I wasn't a popular student. I was a weird racing girl and didn't get good grades. And I turned it all around in college. Got great grades in college.
But because there was some failure along the way. And then look at you now. I mean, so don't be afraid to chase your dreams.
Absolutely. Find what burns in your soul and chase that. I always tell people that. Just find something that gets you excited to get up in the morning and then it doesn't feel like a job.
Beautiful.
Yes, there are hard times, you know, but there are way more good times. And it's a great living. It's so much fun. I still love it. I travel all over the country chasing race car drivers around and I'm not complaining.
You're living the dream. That is for
I am,
sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Jamie, it's good to have you on. Thanks so much for being here. We're excited for, I mean, it's a month away that they'll be racing in the Cracker Barrel 400.
Chase
and
Big Joe, 125, 106.3
the game on this Thursday. Again, we're at Nashville Super Speedway.
Thanks for doing the girly thing today with Wheels and Heels. Raise some money for great,
there's going to be drafting this weekend at the Talladega Super Speedway.
What they do in the community
with Noah Gregson and his fellow drivers.
He has joined us now.
We'll have more coming. Chase and Big Joe, 125, 106.3 the game. Motorsports and Rush Truck Sim. I know Talladega is always unpredictable.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast down there. I love going to Talladega, and it's a party with the race going, a couple races going on. Fun.
What do you think about this place here at the Nashville Super Speedway?
Nashville is fun as well. There's nothing like coming out in Groves, and it's always fun being down on the road. Country music them. It's always cool to meet them and maybe get a selfie. My buddy Hardy, he came out to the race last year, checked it out. So it's a good time.
Yeah, Hardy gets very much into this. So has this year been to this point? New team, front row motorsports. Obviously, you had to deal with all the stuff with Stuart Haas last year. Is it nice to kind of feel settled in?
Yeah, it's good just to be able to not relax by any means, but be able to lock in and focus in with a new group. And you know, like front row motorsports has been a really good position. Stuart Haas, the guys have come with me from the 10 team last year, so over to the number four car, it's been kind of a seamless transition, but it's a organization. It's a great group, and we'll see.
Well, you head to Talladega. What do you like about Talladega? As a fan, I like it because you can go fast. There's a little chaos involved and all that. As a driver, what do you like about that track?
I like the party scene, personally.
What the you?
Not saying I'm going to go out and tear it up all night, but all day Boulevard and on a golf cart and just see, you know, all the different bars they built up and all the fans and to hear a concert. Just the atmosphere there for me. Obviously, high bass and you're hauling ass around that place, right? But at the same time, it's super cool because the fans are just so involved. They're right there, and I try to spend a lot of time with the fans, so it's a good time.
You talk about, you know, having a good time. Obviously, we love to have a good time. When do you rest? Do you get rest Monday night? Are you Monday night, do you sit on your couch and fall asleep?
No, I mean, there's a lot of dead time. So we only have one lap of qualifying, and then we race. So there's probably too much dead time, so there's dead time to rest, but there's also probably a little time in there to go golfing and have some fun with the boys on the Boulevard. But yeah, pretty much Saturday I try to just relax, and we'll qualify on Saturday. I try to probably hit it harder than I should on Friday nights, and and then get ready to go for Sunday.
All right, so in football we watch tape on our opponents, all that. Do you watch any tape on drivers? How does this all work? What's your scouting for Talladega?
Yeah, so you somewhat know who this good super speedway races are. We get a whole report going into the race weekend on, hey, if you can choose the bottom on a restart or choose the top, depending on what position you're in, there's a lot of analytical data that goes into it. So we also watch film on different moves that guys have made to set themselves up for success. We look at data. So we have telemetry with the cars. It's called SFT data. And you're able to see mile per hour, RPMs, throttle, brake, steering wheel angle of any car in the field. So we can look and see, okay, this guy was, you know, trying to set himself up for a pass. Here's what he was doing with his brake pressure. Here's what he was doing with his throttle, how much throttle he was using. So we can kind of see, you know, the differences in driving styles as well, and try to hone in on what we think is going to be the best approach going into the weekend.
Don't you come in here and try to be humble with us. You're a smart young man. I mean, that's a lot that you have to digest. You have an entire team depending on you.
Yeah, it's a lot to manage, and it's a handful at some times, and I'm probably a handful for them to manage as well. But we got such a great group at the team I'm with right now, and that I've been able to surround myself with. So that's been super special to be able to, you know, kind of, you know, when I was racing when I was younger, it was fun. Showed up to the track, got a car, did practice, got up, maybe drove an RC car through the football, hung out on my computer and right. You have to be on top of the game. Everybody's good. Everybody has won races in the lower levels, and it's hard to get that competitive edge on the other guys.
So when you win on Sunday, you're going to winner's circle, whatever that they called. What's it called?
Victory lane.
Victory lane. There you go. You're going to say shout out to Chase and
Big
Joe.
That's right. That's right.
Because they believed in me, and therefore I believed in myself.
That's right.
So, Sunday. Thank
we
you.
We finished third at Talladega in this race last year, so we need a couple spots better.
There you well, go. Well, and, you know, Talladega is so unpredictable. It's interesting you get all the data and everything. At some point, does that all go out the window? Because it's basically, if you're there at the end of the race, it means you've survived. You've gotten through the big win or something. Then is it just kind of like, hey, I'm going to see if somebody will work with me and just get to the front and hold it wide open, basically?
Yeah, there's a lot. So, like, with the fuel savings, so
yeah,
we'll be riding probably 3 or 4 seconds off of the fastest pace in the pack, just saving fuel. But if you're deep in the pack, you might as well burn gas for a couple laps and pass them all on the outside and then save fuel from the front. So there's a lot of strategy, a lot of management throughout the race on your track position and how you want to kind of set yourself up and where you want to be at the end of the race. So there are risks and rewards from going wide open throttle the whole time. You're going to have to take longer on pit road, and you're going to come off pit road after that next pit stop in the back because you got to wait on fuel so much. So you're just trying to set yourself up for the last pit stop. But the big one always happens. That's what we call it in at Talladega and Daytona. It's the big one. We're all packed up together. One guy wrecks, it takes us all out. Ugh. So with that being said, you kind of want to be either way up front or you want to be way in the back. You don't really want to be stuck in that middle area of the pack. So that's kind of my strategy, at least. Yeah. Some guys are different, but that's how I try to approach the weekend.
Very cool.
Noah Gregson is with us. Are you a football fan?
I like football a little bit, yeah.
You're from Vegas, so, I mean, are you a Raiders fan now?
I like the Raiders, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel like tonight's going to go with the draft then?
I got to be honest. I don't know shit about the draft. No. So. Yeah, I'm probably the wrong guy. I hope we get a lot of talented young men.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, that's the right answer. That's a good answer.
Where is Shador going to go?
That's a really good question.
Where is
I don't know.
Saints? You think Saints?
Could be at number nine.
It could be. Could be Pittsburgh at 21. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know.
I think he goes like mid-late 20s.
Yeah. I think he's going to drop. I mean, yeah. I definitely think Pittsburgh could be where he ends up. So who knows? Noah, good luck this weekend at Talladega. We'll see you in about a month here at Nashville Super Speedway.
Awesome.
But thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. If we win,
Chase and
you,
Big Joe.
Hey,
both of you guys are.
I feel pretty good about you this weekend.
You got to win.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. We will come back.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
What day is it? And celebrity birthdays next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live at the Nashville Super Speedway. We've had a lot of fun today with Jamie Little, Noah Gregson, talk a little draft. Lance Guidry was on with us. We're going to bring our friend Katie Myers back for celebrity birthdays. Don't miss our draft coverage tonight. Draft night in Nashville. Twin Peaks in Madison starting at 6 o'clock. Jared will be there for his show starting at 2 o'clock. It's all presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Company, and Professional Home Improvements. Looking forward to that. And then I'll be with Joe Rexroad tomorrow at Boomba's in East Nashville. So come by and see us. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Presented by Jared Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. Just visit them at jaredcompaniesinc.com. Dr. Crane?
All right, gentlemen. First on this, we have National Teach Children to Save Day. Save money, save your toys, save everything. Let's see. New Kids on the Block Day, Joe's favorite day of the year. Let's see. Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. Don't have either of those that I know of. World Day of Laboratory Animals. So, you know, shout out to the rats. And World Meningitis Day. And wrap it up, we have Love Your Thighs Day with National Pigs in a Blanket Day.
Thank you. Shout out to the rats.
Shout out.
Gosh. All right. Time for you, celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. By the way, Katie, I don't know. It's not an answer. All right. Our first birthday. Yeah. The great, talented Shirley MacLaine, Warren Beatty's older sister. How old is Shirley MacLaine?
I'm going to say 81. 78. 91.
All
right, there you go.
Barbara Streisand. Ooh. Ooh.
83.
86?
83, exactly. Dang. Chaser. Chaser knows his great singers.
I do. You don't bring me flowers anymore.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric is 61.
I don't even know who this is. I'm going to say 70.
60. Chaser's up.
You don't know Cedric the Entertainer? You would know him. You would know him if you saw him.
It's okay.
I'm terrible at this. Wow.
Let's see here. Don't know who that is. We're going down. Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
Ooh.
Kelly Clarkson. I'll let you go first.
I'm going to say 45.
That's a good guess. 46.
43.
Oh,
Katie, you're on the
yes!
board.
Yes.
Country singer Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys. He's the one with the very deep voice, the Papa.
He was used to have part ownership in the Sounds, I think.
He did.
I'm going to say he is 78.
I'm going to say 70.
82.
Dang. Smoking me, Chase.
The lead singer of Night Ranger, Jack Blades. He went and did Damn Yankees with Ted Nugent. Mm.
70.
80.
71. She's up 4-1.
Man,
Danny Noonan, actor Michael O'Keefe from Caddyshack. How old is Michael O'Keefe?
74.
I'm going to say 65.
He is 70. You could, sorry, Kate, you get to it now. You're in the middle of all that.
Okay.
Let's see here. Woo. Oh, the bass player for Creed, Brian Marshall.
Oh.
48.
I'm going to say 55.
Oh, he's 52. He's so close, Katie.
Dang.
I want you to beat Chase so bad.
Dang.
Because he's got an attitude doing this. Country singer Carly Pearce.
Oh, I'm going to say
33.
29. 35.
Nice.
4-2, Katie. Actor Jack Quaid from The Hunger Games. That is Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son.
32.
I'm going to say 40.
33.
Dang.
He's up 5-2.
Dang.
Baseball player all-star Omar Vizquel. How old is Omar Vizquel? Retired Omar Vizquel.
47.
43.
58. Mm. You're still there. It's 5-2, Chase.
A bit outside.
At least I got two, okay?
Former L.A. Rams quarterback Vince Ferragamo. How old is Vince today?
68.
62.
71. Chipper Jones.
Ooh, are you kidding me? Today?
Chipper Jones.
Man.
All right, go ahead. Larry Wayne Jones Jr.
Golly, how old is Chipper?
You got to figure it out, Katie. You're still within striking distance of Chase.
I'm going to say 48.
Good guess. I'm going to say 47.
53.
Is he really?
Wow.
Wow.
And Carlos Beltran, former baseball player. Today's his birthday. Former is the key word.
I'm going to go 47.
50.
48. Katie, you were within striking distance. It's 5-3, our last birthday. Hockey player Chris Letang. Today's his birthday. Does he play for the Penguins?
Yeah.
All right, Katie, if you get this dead on, you tie Chase.
38.
35.
Katie, Chase had to be a jerk and get 38 dead on. He's 38. I'm sorry. But 7-3, heck, you do better than most other people that fill
all
with
right.
that.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Good
I got
job.
On the board.
Well, that's going to do it for us. Katie, thanks so much for having us today here at Nashville Super Speedway. Good luck with Wheels and Heels and raising money for a great charity in Speedway Children's Charities. Enjoy draft day. It's almost here. The Titans will make the pick, the first overall pick. We'll have coverage throughout the day. DVD coming up next.
Katie, thank you as always. To our guys out there, our message we end every show with, if you're struggling, having some troubles, look on your cell phone. You got to talk to somebody. You have to talk to someone. We're here for you on the cell phone. You can call or text 988. And we tell you all the time that your journey is a beautiful journey. If something happened to you, you would be tremendously missed. Please know that. And know that we tremendously love you. We love you, more importantly, more than anything else in this world. God loves you too.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.